And this is my story. I have to read it because it's been a long time since I've told it. The family I was born into couldn't meet my right size need for healthy love, safety, and security. I did grow up with narcissistic parents. When I was a kid, what's now defined as narcissism was pretty normalized. So I don't see my parents as bad. They were of their time. I don't blame my parents for who I am. I love my parents very much. I only share this to explain the causes and condition that played a part in my addiction. You know, at best with narcissists, my experience is you get conditional love when you meet their conditions. And when you don't, there's usually criticism and gaslighting and neglect. And just when you come to your senses to leave, they'll usually throw a few breadcrumbs to keep you around because they need an audience and you are essentially their supply. Unfortunately, a child cannot leave their family of origin, so we're stuck with what we get. And when you don't know different, you will define ill treatment as love, which is why I have a history of picking people who don't love me well. I've always been a sensitive person. I come from generations of addicts on both sides. My mother had mental illness and parentified me at a very early age. She was inappropriate with me in many ways. And my father was an alcoholic and drug addicted. And when using, could become violent and dangerous when he was not absent. So a child clings to faulty parents because parents are God to the child. A child cannot reject the gods that shelter, feed, and clothe them. They would die. At a young age, that child must find a way to square the faulty caregiver dilemma and usually ends up turning it inward. And that's what I did. I grew up believing I was basically bad, undeserving of love, and responsible for everyone's feelings. I became habituated early to intense female attention, and it was all too much, too soon, too fast. I was a short kid, I was overweight, I was bullied, I was fat shamed, I was very depressed. At age 12, I attempted to take my own life. Thankfully, it did not work. Around 15, I had a growth spurt, I lost weight, I became more attractive physically, and suddenly got a lot of attention. And I behaved like the narcissist who raised me. It's important to point out, I also experienced a sense at that time of power and control that I had never known, albeit temporarily. Still, for someone who'd lived in fear and chaos their whole life, it was a pretty powerful high. And it was one that I would spend decades trying to increase and maintain because it took the pain away for a little while. Underneath, I still had a huge emptiness inside, and in time I learned the hard way, no matter what I did, no one could fill that. Only a higher power can do that. I've had many dysfunctional relationships. I've acted out compulsively, including in the sex industry. And as this law text says, until I got sober, I sexualized most, if not all, of my feelings. Generally, it was an awful experience. High highs, yes, but very low lows. In July 2001, I found my way into this program. I got a sponsor. I worked the steps. I got sober. I dated sober. Eventually, I met someone that I thought I loved. When my mother passed away in 2009, I rushed into marriage because it felt like life was short. And in the beginning, marriage was actually great. But after we had children, their mother naturally shifted her attention to them. I felt very abandoned, and I started having affairs. We separated in 2017. She took our kids across state lines. By the time I realized she never planned to return, statute of limitations had passed. My father died. I lost my job, I lost my home. In a very short time, I had no family, money, or place to live. I was deeply depressed, bitter, and suicidal. It was at that time that I lost faith in God and in this program. I was totally alone, and I'd lost faith before, but this time was more severe. My divorce was imminent, so I started dating again. I was determined to do things differently. I did try ethical non-monogamy. It felt like some kind of improvement because at least I wasn't lying anymore. But 1,000 was still not enough, and when the novelty wore off, I was back in the same hell. No quantity of people could fill the emptiness inside. During COVID, I rented out my home and moved to Illinois to be with my kids. I got back into therapy. I returned to my higher power in a deeper way. I focused on my alcoholism because even though I wasn't drinking, I was a dry drunk, no emotional sobriety. I went back to AA, got a sponsor, and worked the steps again. That was 5 years ago. 4.5 years ago, I met someone in that program who I thought was going to be my partner for life. We were both sober and spiritual. Over time, she dismissed spirituality and eventually left program altogether. Our relationship became very codependent. As I came to discover, she was an unrecovered sex and love addict with a lot of narcissistic behaviors. I ignored those red flags in the beginning, such is the nature of this disease. Eventually, the relationship became abusive. I was back to getting crumbs again, which felt familiar. She cheated on me. And when I was a boy, my parents cheated on each other. So even though it was painful, that last relationship felt a lot like home, which is why it was hard to leave. Everything I'd once done to others at the height of my acting out, she did to me. And part of me wanted to make a living amends by loving this imperfect person the way I wish someone had loved me when I was acting out. But it was more addiction than recovery because I was terrified to be alone and was totally hooked. I could not leave by my own power and was deeply humbled. 20 years in program, and I was back on my knees like a newcomer. Finally, I begged God to get me out. That was my step one. Step two was remembering how God in program had helped me many times before. Step three was asking God for help again and turning it over, really letting go of my need to control a relationship where I had none. It was April this year when my higher power told me, if it's not better by end of summer, I will carry you out. Summer got worse. This past August, God kept that promise. I was able to end it. That was 3 months ago. My withdrawal has been intense. Some days, I want to go back to my qualifier because I miss that familiar pain. Many days, I talk to the little boy inside me who still confuses the intensity of that relationship with love. He's still learning what real love is. I show up for that little boy daily and for myself in a different way now. I cannot do this alone. Some days I have to beg my higher power to keep me away from my qualifier. And when I ask God why I've never been able to find a healthy, loving relationship, the answer I get is, you deserve so much better. And one day you will, if that's what you really want. For now, I just need to keep trusting and learning and growing. Withdrawal takes time. I've had many in this program, usually lasting 6 months to a year. Some days aren't so bad. Other days, 1 minute at a time, praying, crying, screaming, just surviving. I stay close to my kids. I love them and look after them the same way my higher power does for me. I work the steps. I lean into fellowship. I sponsor. I don't act out 1 day at a time. Without God, I will make other people my higher power and I will suffer every time. I'm wired for partnership. But I need healthy love with someone truly loving because I'm truly loving and deserve nothing less. I know that can be hard to find, especially at my age. I give that to God to sort out. It's above my pay grade right now. The hardest part of recovery is learning to stay in the gray. Many of us in program must be rigid about certain things to stay sober. But too rigid or too loose is what also causes problems. I abstain from certain things today a lot of people have no problems with, but I am not like them. My sobriety depends upon being rigid about certain things. Thanks, I hear that. The paradox is that I also need to be open-minded about other things, such as higher power, God, and how I see the people I've influenced and that have influenced me in my addiction and in my recovery. The price of recovery is often loss. As I grow, I change, and I lose people, places, and things I'm deeply attached to. And this is to make room for those that are a better fit for who I am becoming. That doesn't change the meaningful experiences that came before. I often remind myself, you can love someone and also not be able to make a life with them. In many ways, I get on great with my family. Most of them are dead, but whoever's left, and my qualifiers. But there's always a cost. At some point, cost outweighs benefit. Cost becomes destructive. The real prize at the end of 12-step for me is peace, As a boy, I was habituated to chaos. I mistook intensity for love. Mostly, it was just a lot of intensity. I have to let go of a lot of people in my life to keep that peace today. Thanks, I hear that. I'll just wrap up by saying, I'm learning, I'm growing in recovery. I'm the one who's changed. Today, I need different people to love me, and I need to love a different type of person to keep my peace. Because God and peace are the same. I was finally able to leave that last dysfunctional relationship with God's help. Today, I'm grieving. I'm also healing. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.